The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, I'm joined by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at the School of Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin. And I mention immunology because we're going to talk about climate change and how it might impact the immune system. Luke, good morning.
That's right, Pat. Even the immune system is getting damaged by climate change. Now, we know about climate change having all kinds of deleterious effects, but there's good evidence now the increasing temperatures, environmental effects are actually damaging our immune systems. And it's become a big area of research in the past year or so, how the climate change affects immunity.
Now, how do you measure that certain conditions that might occur in the population can be linked directly to climate?
Well, they noticed, first of all, allergies have gone up, Pat. So there's a big study between 2012 and 2022, allergies in children have doubled in the world, which is a striking change. Things like rheumatoid arthritis has gone up by about 14% as well, and food allergies. Now, the question is, why would these things be so dramatically on the increase, really? And it could be things like processed food or lack of exercise.
But well, you know, the clean home syndrome, where you don't have the kids being exposed to dirt and their immune system does not develop.
That could be part of it. But they don't think it's just that, because it's too fast for that in a way. And they think climate change, which has been, the temperatures are going up, you know, the usual things. And there's evidence now that that will damage the immune system. So they're putting two and two together. And they're saying, look, climate change also impacts on these diseases.
Now, we can point to specific climate events, for example, wildfires. And what might they do?
Yeah, that's a big one. Yes. Yeah, so when there's a fire, obviously all this soot goes up into the air, and that's very irritating for your lungs. You're inhaling these particles, and that will damage your lungs directly. And they've shown this in Australia, for example, after the bushfires, a big increase in lung
irritation. So that's
a direct link. Direct link, exactly. That's an obvious one in a way, that when you see fires, you get more soot, irritates the body. But more importantly, I think, are things like pollutants building up. So for example, there's evidence that floods, all these chemicals get dissolved, end up in the water system, and then we're drinking this water, and the level of those pollutants is rising in as a consequence of floods. And again, that wasn't expected as such, but again, that's an acute consequence of flooding, what happened there.
And then presumably that water, which is polluted, is watering crops and may have some sort of effect on the crop.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that these pollutants do irritate the immune system for definite, for a start. And then the crops themselves, nutrition level goes down, Pat, when there's global warming. So there's less bang for your buck, say, in a pound of wheat or a pound of barley. There's less nutrients in the food. And what that means is we're all maybe at risk of slightly being malnourished. And of course,
so some of the key vitamins that you get in your food may not be present.
Precisely, yeah. And they've shown carbon dioxide as well. If CO2 goes up, the plants are making less nutrients, basically. So when you have a slice of bread, you're getting slightly less in terms of vitamins and nutrients. And again, that will harm us in other ways. So micro malnutrition, they're calling that, could be.
Now, when you talk about processed foods, what's happening there?
Well, the trouble, processed foods are really irritating. Things like fructose. We've known for about 10, 15 years now that can have a damaging effect on cells of your immune system when they're less effective. And the big output, Pat, is the irritation drives inflammation, one of my big areas of interest. Mm-hmm. And this increased irritation and inflammation then puts you at greater risk of things like asthma or arthritis or any inflammatory condition then could be spurred on by these different changes.
Now, the immune system is supposed to respond to all of these challenges. And why wouldn't it then? You have more challenges, but then more responses.
It's going to overdrive. It's very balanced, you know, and the immune system is a very finely tuned machine. It evolved 200,000 years ago in Homo sapiens. If you're introducing new chemicals, the immune system sees those for the first time and then goes into overdrive, and it's using its weapons. And as you know, things like arthritis, it's your own immune system attacking your tissues. So the irritation then is provoking more attack on our own tissues, is the idea. And things like pollutants are a big one. Another one, Pat, that I think is fascinating, certain plants like ragweed, for instance, that can cause massive irritation to our bodies. And molds that grow in houses. And as you know, a big housing problem is if molds grow in a house, the children inhale that mold, and that really irritates their lungs. So again, increasing temperature means more mold, and the mold level goes up as a result.
Yeah, and often it is reported that in some new builds that you can have mold, seems
strange,
extraordinary.
Yeah, but in fact, they're also saying about any new building, air quality, not just because of COVID, by the way, because remember we were banging on about the need for proper ventilation. Air quality in a house should be a key feature, because if the air quality is poor, these moulds will grow more and more. And with the increasing temperatures in summertime, the moulds get a foothold and then begin to grow. And even in regular houses, you see more mould.
Now, we've been talking about physical health, but there's also mental health. And in recent times, a lot of talk about eco-anxiety, particularly among kids who think that the world is going to end on their watch.
Yeah, there's been I wouldn't say quite the word frenzy, is too strong a word, a huge amount of research into, is climate change causing anxiety? Now, of course, when you turn on your news and you see a depressing story about Ukraine or whatever, that will cause a certain amount of anxiety in people. But equally, this relentless reporting on climate change is making people anxious.
Yeah. Now, I know there is climate change. It's well documented. But at the same time, you know, there was a time you might have a hurricane in the South China Sea, or a typhoon, as they call it there. You'd never have heard about it. Not at all. Now, if it's there, if there are good pictures, we will hear about it. If there's a small bushfire in the south of Spain, you never would have heard about it. Now we hear about it.
You've got it. It's the malign influence of news, in a way. But it's in the news all the time. And one big study has just been done. 10,000 children were quizzed about this, 16 to 25-year-olds, and half of them said they are anxious about climate change. Now, it wasn't as if they were having major anxiety, but still half of them said, yes, they're very worried about climate change. Now, again, that has to impact on the mental health. Obviously, enough of the occurring. Another reason to be anxious, and climate change is one of them. And that's kind of an unforgotten thing, a less studied thing.
Now, there are some hard numbers that you can look at, and that is the number of suicides in a heat wave.
Yeah, this is the more serious end, of course. Yeah, and there was a study in 2018 with the increasing temperature. I think it was an increase of 1 degree centigrade on average in the summer. They spotted the suicide rate had gone up by 0.7% in the US, and it was 2.1% in Mexico. Now, of course, that's correlation. But even still, they were linking it in a kind of mathematical way.
Well, if the next time you get these excessive temperatures, you get the same phenomenon, then you might have, statistical signs.
Precisely. And they link into things like lack of sleep. This seems something that's a bit obvious in a way, but the increasing temperatures mean people get less sleep. If you're prone to mental health issues, they could be exacerbated. And then tragically, they've correlated that with the suicide rate. So you'd never have imagined that climate change would tie into that.
People might feel helpless and think there's nothing we can do about this. But is there?
Well, there is, absolutely. And in fact, that report on the eco-anxiety said there are things you can do. Get involved, basically, in the efforts to decrease climate change in various ways. Join your local group or whatever it is one big thing you can do, and advocate, because you feel less powerless then. Now, clearly, we are advocating, aren't we? Every country is. It's a big agenda for us. But getting involved in trying to mitigate, that will take away some of the anxiety. Mm.
Now, you talked about the respiratory conditions in young people. Now, suppose you do, in those areas where you've had a lot of soot or car exhaust or whatever it might be, suppose you manage to reduce it. Do you get benefits that you can measure?
You do. Very importantly, the science, again, is there to support this. So in California, they managed to change the law there to decrease pollution in the atmosphere, basically. And the particle size is everything, because the pollutants are spitting out soot. Any kind of factory will have a certain amount of pollution. The bigger the particle size, the bigger the irritation. So they insisted on filters and stuff like that. And they decreased the average particle size in an air sample. And there was a decrease in 20% in respiratory diseases in California, which they can link directly into decreasing particle size. Mm-hmm. And secondly, hospital admissions went down. 4 million less people going to hospital in a time frame. And they reckon it was because there was less respiratory illness because of this decrease in particles.
Now, can you put dollars and cents on all of this, like the mitigation measures, what they cost versus what you might save in your health service?
Yeah, there's one study showing for every dollar spent on mitigation against climate change, you might save $3 down the line in your healthcare system. Now, of course, like most things in politics, it takes time for those benefits to accrue, I suppose. But direct evidence that a spend on climate change mitigation will translate into less illness and, as a result, then less expense in the health service.
Yeah. I mean, when we talk about car exhausts, which are by and large invisible, it's one thing, but the effects are real. We simply can't see what's causing them. But if you go back to the smogs of, you'll often see old pictures of smog in London, the pea soupers, so-called, you could not see in front of you. And what that must have been doing.
Massive respiratory illness. Yeah. Things like emphysema, you think, COPD, those ones. They go up massively because of this pollution, because the lungs are getting so irritated when you inhale. And then the asthma side of it. Any respiratory disease, much worse in those kinds of environmental situations.
Now, are there other things that we can do?
There are. And this is the good part that really got me. For trees are the answer as ever, you know. And the more trees we plant, you're sucking up carbon dioxide. through the tree. The tree is your best way to decrease carbon, remember. And then secondly, the temperature decreases in a city based on tree coverage. And that's really good evidence because the trees will decrease the overall temperature in the city. And some studies have shown if you have 30% tree coverage in a city, there'll be a 2 degree centigrade drop in the average temperature in summer because of that tree coverage. And that's one way then to decrease the effects of all the heat. And then secondly, we love trees, don't we? You know, and there's a mental health benefit to having trees as well.
Yeah, just in terms of looking at them and enjoying them and lying in their shade on a hot day and so on and so forth. What kind of coverage do we have in Dublin?
Yeah, now the UCD actually, give UCD credit for it, they've done big studies on this. And we're not doing great compared to other European cities. We've 10% in Dublin. Tree coverage. Now, Dublin City Council, by the way, and Dublin County, our corporation, they're trying to increase this as the campaign to increase trees. 10% in Dublin. Oslo is 35%. So we'd love to yet again be like our Scandinavian friends in a way. So we need more trees to be planted, and there is a big campaign. I like myself, but the EU has a campaign to get it's called the 3 billion tree plan, to get 3 billion trees planted around Europe, especially in the cities, because of all these beneficial effects.
So the best we can do is plant a tree in our back garden, if nothing else.
If you get a chance, plant as many trees as possible. Exactly.
Very good. Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.